This is The Science Show on your radio station, ABC Radio National, and the count continues. And I'm talking about the counting of ticks of atoms, a few billion times each second. Why do that? Nobel laureate William Phillips explains later. I'm Robin Williams. On Monday, just a few days ago, the Australian Academy of Science launched their climate document, Questions and Answers. They did so then not because of an election, but to mark National Science Week. The intention is to give you and me an authoritative guide to cut through the confusion and let us know what the science is really saying. This is a brief extract from the press conference at the Academy with Ian Allison and Mike Ropack.
When we confronted the challenge of how to write a document such as this, we fastened on a person who we would address. And this person, we each selected an individual who we knew. And this person is an intelligent non-scientist who is curious about climate change, is perhaps a little confused by the contemporary debate, and wants to understand as best as possible the way things are really happening. And for that reason, we chose to construct this document as a narrative, as the story of why those of us who are in climate science have reached the opinions that we have. And in doing that narrative, we chose two ways of telling the story. And the first is to examine the lines of evidence that climate science uses in order to reach its conclusions, and which point towards the conclusions laid out in this report. The second way is to identify seven questions which form the structure of this narrative. I'll just touch briefly on the first of those before handing over to Ian. We identified four principal reasons, four lines of evidence, why climate science has reached the conclusions that it has, as reflected in this document. The first of those consists of basic physical principles. Most of these have been known for a long time, that some gases in the atmosphere, carbon dioxide, water vapour and others, interact with radiation, and in doing so, they trap heat and keep the Earth's surface warmer than it otherwise would be. Second line of evidence is to examine the record of the distant past running back over many millions of years. And that tells us that climate has varied enormously through that time, not always in response to obvious forcings. In fact, that line of evidence tells us that climate is sensitive to small disturbance. The third line of evidence is the measurements that we have of climate change and variability over the recent past, running back 100 or slightly more years, the period through which we have trustworthy instrumental records of the way that climate has changed in that period. That line of evidence tells us that the Earth has indeed warmed over that period by something like 0.8 degrees since the mid-19th century to the present. And the fourth line of evidence, only the fourth, is the climate models that are used to project how climate change will evolve in the future. And those tell us that climate indeed is likely to continue to warm if emissions of human-induced greenhouse gases continue at business-as-usual rates and continue to grow at those rates. So with that brief survey of the lines of evidence that into this document, I'll hand over to Ian, who will introduce the seven questions around which the document is framed. He'll go through the first three and a half of them, and I'll return and carry on with the remaining questions. Thanks, Ian.
As Mike said, we had four lines of reasoning why we come to the conclusions we do. We based this document around seven questions. I'll just briefly introduce the seven questions now. Our first question really is, what is climate and what is climate change? What do we mean by those terms? Then, how has Earth's climate changed in the past? And we talk first about the distant past, the period before instrumental record, going back to the geological record of millions of years. And what are the causes of these changes? What role human-induced activities have on climate? From that, what are the changes we might expect in the future? And what might the consequences of those be? And finally, we'll finish up with a brief session on just what are the uncertainties in our science and what do we do about those. But since the Industrial Revolution, there's been a tremendous increase in the carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere. The blue dots here are all measurements. They match up almost perfectly with the ice core record. So we have a record going back here 2,000 years, but overall 800,000 years to show us that past history. And this level of CO2 we have now at over 380 parts per million is greater than any concentration of CO2 we've seen in the atmosphere for 800,000 years. I'll hand over to Mike now to...
Thank you, Ian. Well, the next question is, what evidence is there that these increases in greenhouse gases are responsible for the warming? We have a cause. Do we have a direct response in the effect? And there are a number of lines of evidence which indicate that that is so. One of the major ones is that if we look for fingerprints of change in climate that we would expect to see from greenhouse gases in the record over the last few decades, we do in fact find them. For example, we expect greenhouse gases to warm the lower atmosphere and the Earth's surface. We see that. We also expect them to cool the upper atmosphere, the stratosphere, the region about 15 kilometres and higher from the Earth's surface. And we see that, and that is observed in the satellite records. Another way that indicates that there is a cause and effect relationship between rising greenhouse gases and the current observed rise in temperatures is that if we look for alternative explanations, we're very hard-pressed to find any. Certainly the sun won't account for this rise. The sun's output over the last few decades has been trending in the wrong direction to account for that increase. Volcanoes, as a source of atmospheric CO2, emit something like 100 times less CO2 than human activities currently do. That's the average of volcanoes over the last century. So we can dismiss volcanoes as a source of the current temperature rise with great confidence. We can then look at the question of whether recent Australian climate changes can be attributed to increasing greenhouse gas levels in the atmosphere. And there is some evidence that this is the case. This is an area of much greater uncertainty, but one of the projections of climate models is that we see a band of drying across the southern part of the continent in southwestern Australia and Victoria and extending roughly up to the latitude of the ACT. But that is a predicted consequence of climate change. We also see wetting trends in the north, and those, as Ian showed a moment ago, have been observed in the records over the last 50 years in particular. So while there is a lot of uncertainty around rainfall projections, there is some evidence that climate changes are being manifested in Australian rainfall patterns already.
Dr. Mike Ropack and Ian Allison, co-chairs of the committee of our top scientists who spent about 1,500 hours producing the document, The Science of Climate Change, Questions and Answers. It's only 16 pages long, well illustrated, and to see or download a copy, go to the Academy of Science website, links on our own ABC Science Show website. And the conclusion, yes, warming is on, humans are affecting the change, and action needs to be taken.